message is presented to you by Victory Christian Center in Farmer City, Illinois. For more information, contact us at www.bccfarmercity.org.
We're in a series talking about honor. And I want to go another direction this morning. I want to look at something Jesus said about honor. He is our example. He's the one we're following our life after. That's who we just spent all this time worshiping and loving and adoring. And now we're going to look at some of his example that he left for us when he walked the earth as it pertains to honor. So let's just hit the ground running. We're going to go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we find a familiar situation. What does it seem to happen to him a lot is he comes head to head with the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes and teachers of the law, and they were always trying to trap him, trying to trick him, trying to somehow find grounds to discredit him, and for reasons that we don't have to go into this morning. But that's what's going on in this passage, and he's up against some Pharisees again. Well, here in John chapter 8, we'll start reading about verse 48. It says, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?'" Well, they're trying to insult him. I'm not so sure, but I think they're trying to insult the Samaritans too. They did not like Samaritans. There was a racial thing going on. But regardless, Jesus answered verse 49. He says, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father." And he says, "And you dishonor me." He said, "I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." He implies there's one who seeks my glory and judges. So he's speaking of the Father God. But right here in this passage, we'll just jump right on our topic this morning. Jesus said, "I do not seek my own glory." There's our theme this morning. We're going to circle around this point for a while. Jesus said, "I don't seek my own glory." If we jump down to verse 54, Jesus answered and said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God." Now, I'll point two things out right away. And the first one is, up there in verse 50, he says, "I don't seek my own glory." Down here in verse 54, he says, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing." And I just want to point out, that's the same word. I know the translators used glory up in verse 50, they used honor down in verse 54, but in the original Greek, it's the same word. It's the word doxa. And we mentioned this when we looked into the word honor early in the series. I told you it's sometimes translated honor. It's sometimes translated glory. It's sometimes translated riches. It has a few different applications. This is one where it's the same word both times. We're talking about honor. He says, "I don't seek my own honor." He says, "In fact, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing." So I just want to point that out. Second thing I'll point out, doesn't this then fit what we've been studying this whole series, the pattern back in 1 Samuel when God said, "Those who honor me, I will honor." That's what's going on here. Jesus says, "I don't try to honor myself." He said up there in verse 49, he says, "I honor my Father." And then he pointed out, "My Father honors me." He says, "I don't honor myself. I don't seek it for myself. I honor the Father. The Father honors me." That's the pattern that we've been looking at this whole series. Jesus walked in the very pattern. He understood the honor of God, and he's walking in it. So, Jesus said, "I don't seek my own honor." He says, "I don't honor myself." Well, then there's the question, should we follow his example? Well, that's an easy one. Yeah. He's the standard by which we are measured. He is the example left for us. So we should then say, we don't seek our own honor. Well, then that's the question this morning. Do you suppose any of us have ever been guilty of seeking our own honor? Don't answer that out loud, but I can probably answer for all of us when I say, yeah, I've done that. I've been guilty of seeking my own honor. Well, that's not a good thing. because he's the standard that we're measured by, and he says, I don't do that. In fact, he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. So what does it really value then if we honor our own self? Nothing. It's not worth anything. What God says, those who honor me, I will honor. Do you suppose his honor is worth something? Oh yeah, that's why we're studying this. It's worth everything. So when we put this in this context, is it a good thing to honor God? Yes. He will honor us if we honor him. Do we want him to honor us? Yes. Resounding, absolutely yes. Is his honor worth something? Yes. Okay. Is it good to honor our own selves? No. Is our honor worth anything? No. Should we be honoring our own selves? No. So we see this quickly. I want to jump back a chapter. We're going to gradually work our way backwards in John, as it turns out. Back up to John chapter 7. We're going to open this up just a little bit further. John chapter 7, verse 18. Again, Jesus speaking. He says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. So we just saw that seeking our own glory is not what we want to do. Now he's defining it a little bit. He says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. That's the New King James. The King James, the original, says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. So then I went back to one of my literal Greek translations, and it puts it this way: one that speaks on himself seeks his own glory. So similar sentence, we just keep kind of changing that. My mom, the grammar teacher, is not here to correct me. That's a preposition, right? First we're speaking from ourselves, we're speaking on ourselves, we're speaking of ourselves, and every one of them's accurate. They're all right. Every one of those translations is handling that word properly. So the question then is, how can you tell if someone is seeking their own glory? How can you tell if someone is trying to honor themselves? Usually, both of the following two things are true. Number one, they are speaking from themselves as a source. They're speaking on themselves as a subject. Usually both are true. There may be cases where it's one or the other, but most of the time, both are true. They're speaking from themselves as a source, and they're speaking about themselves as a subject. And I might think, what would be an example then of seeking your own glory? Well, what's the obvious one? Bragging. Bragging, boasting about yourself, tooting your own horn, ringing your own bell, any way you want to put it. The person bragging. We all know this person. Some people are worse than others. We've all kind of done it a little bit. Why? Because bragging's motivated by pride, and all of us have flesh that has pride, and we have to keep a lid on it, kind of keep it reined in. People who don't keep it reined in are the ones that really brag all the time. What all they think about is themselves. Pride and selfishness tend to go hand in hand. Well, okay, so we know that one. That's the obvious one, and then we're not going to really dig into that one this morning. I think we understand that one. Let's peel a layer off of it and let's go a little deeper then. The application is wider than just bragging. So let me say it this way. What is honor? Well, we know that in simplest terms, it's value. To value something. We remember that at its root, the actual definition, the literal definition of that Hebrew word for honor is weighty. And we've talked about this several times. It goes back to when people used to trade and barter in those days. The salesman or the seller had scales, and whatever you were trying to purchase had a certain weight value. And we used precious stones, silver, gold, whatever. Didn't have Visa back then. And so it was whatever weight, and you had to generate enough silver to level that scale. And the more valuable it was, the heavier it was going to be, the more silver you got to kick out. So value is maybe the simplest definition. Honor is value. So then what does it mean to seek your own glory or to seek your own honor? Then it means that you are trying to make sure that people know how valuable you are. That's seeking your own honor. I want to make sure people know how valuable I am. Now, this can apply in all kinds of situations. A common one seems to be on the job, at work. You know, I need people to understand how valuable I am. You know, some people just don't appreciate me like they should. I don't think they understand what I do for this company. You know, if it weren't for me, they'd have lost that customer. I saved a sale there, or they would have lost that account. Or maybe I'm the one that really keeps this workplace organized. If it wasn't for me, this place would be chaos. And it could be anything. You've all run into this before, I'm sure. I know I have. There's just some people, they want you to understand what they do. Make sure you know how valuable they are. Not just the workplace, though. You know, another hopefully not common, but yet seems to be commonplace that this happens. Hopefully none of you have ever experienced this. Is at home. And it could be either spouse, but it seems like it's often the wife, the mom, who feels a little unappreciated. I cook for them. I clean for them. I pick up their clothes that they leave trailed through the house. I wash their laundry. And do they ever say thank you? Do they ever appreciate what I do for them? No! Okay. Hopefully no mom has ever had to do that. Careful, dear, you're walking into the middle of it. She has never experienced that. But you understand, like I'm saying, I really do think, I'm not trying to pick on anyone this morning or step on any toes, because I bet all of us have seen this, have been on every side of this. We've seen other people go through that little moment. We've probably been through that little moment, because it usually goes hand in hand with just feeling unappreciated. I just don't think people understand what value I have. And we want them to understand how valuable I am. So I think we all relate to this situation. But in this moment then, when we're having that little moment, we'll call it, who are we talking about? Ourselves, or maybe their selves, however you're viewing this. Why are they talking about themselves? They're seeking their own appreciation. They want to be valued. They want to be praised. They want to be honored. That's what this is. Now, they might not use these exact words that I'm about to use, but it really does kind of sum up the situation. Other people around me just don't seem to understand how valuable I am, so I'm going to work to educate them as to what I'm worth. As to what my value is. I want to make sure they know how valuable I am, because they need to appreciate me more. Now, no one actually puts it in those words. That's a little over the top. But that's kind of what's driving the situation. Like I said, we've all been here, but what's the problem then? Usually, it starts with those little feelings of not being appreciated. They're not valuing me. They don't say thank you. And what happens is that kind of starts to turn on the inside of you. And without realizing, what are we doing? It's going circles in our mind. And the word we don't think of is we're meditating. Usually when we look at what the Bible talks about when it says meditation, we all go to the positive. And the word says if you'll take God's word, the Bible, and you'll meditate on His word. What's that mean? You think about it, ponder it, mutter, utter, you know, and you're meditating on His word, then it begins to fill you. And what it'll do is produce faith in you. It gets in you. It changes you. That's meditation in a good way. But there is meditation in a bad way. And in this case, what they're doing, they're meditating on, I'm not appreciated. And it just keeps doing circles inside them, and they're meditating. Without realizing, they're putting all those same principles into action, and the meditations of their mind drop down into their spirit man, and their whole heart now, the whole inner man, becomes full of this unappreciativeness. And what happens then when you start to really get full of it? It didn't happen because you thought at one time. No, this is a season of meditation. You get fuller and fuller. What happens? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. At some point, that unappreciation starts barreling out the mouth. Now, different people handle it different ways. Some people realize This is like pressure building, and I don't want to lose control of this. So they find someone they love, someone they trust, someone who will let them, and they pin them in a room somewhere, and they start to unload. And they start telling them, you know, those people at work don't appreciate me. And they what are they doing? Kind of, they're literally venting, letting some of that steam off. Kind of, let's let this pressure out in a controlled environment with someone who I know loves me, and let that pressure out. Other people don't think it through like that. There are other people that just let it build and build and build, and instead of venting, what do? Explode! Usually at an inopportune time, with no control, and not necessarily on people who love them and have their best interest at heart, and they let it all out. Well, those are two ways to handle it, neither of which are really the best way to handle it. There is yet another thing about this. So, let's ask the hard question then. We've asked a couple questions. Let's ask the really hard question. We're in that situation. We've done a good job. They're not appreciating us, and we know it. Let's ask the hard question. Do they, whoever they is, do they need to appreciate us? Do I need them to appreciate me in order for me to continue doing what I do for them? A lot of people would say yes. If they're not going to value me, I'm going to stop doing what I do. And I'll ask, what scripture are you building that on? Because Jesus said, I don't seek my own glory. He wasn't real concerned about whether anyone appreciated him or not. He sought the Father's honor. The Father honored him. He said, I don't seek my own glory, I don't seek my own honor. He didn't look for that from men. See, the truth about the matter is, if we work hard at what we do, if we are faithful and we're reliable, and we do a good job and we work hard, we're productive, we genuinely add value to whatever the situation is, at work, at home, at church, whatever the case, we are doing our job and adding value. And then if whoever they are don't show proper appreciation and they don't recognize our hard work, that situation right there, here's what many Christians don't realize. That situation where I'm not being appreciated, that's good for us. That is a good situation. And let me explain why. Because that situation is going to begin to expose to you, to your own self, where you are in your Christian walk. Because what's likely to happen? Little feelings are going to start rising up. Little feelings of not being appreciated. Maybe even get a little hurt by that. I might even be a little offended by that. They don't appreciate me. That might turn to irritation. Next thing you know, you might even feel a little bit of anger on the inside. And what do we have to be smart enough to recognize? If we have enough maturity in our Christian faith, we have to be able to step back from that situation and say, there's a problem here. But have enough maturity to recognize the problem is not with them. The problem's with me. There's something in me that wants this honor from men, and that's not right. And we have to be smart enough then to say, what do I need? I need a hammer, and I need some nails, because it's time to crucify some flesh. He said, figuratively. Don't take me literally. I don't think anyone would, but just in case. You understand, those feelings, anger, resentment, offense, those aren't your spirit. That's not coming out of your heart. That's coming out of this fallen flesh. And we recognize where it's coming from, and we say, uh-uh. In fact, it would be good to speak to that flesh, to speak to ourselves in that moment, and say, no, no, no. No, you don't. I will not respond in anger. I will not be offended. Don't you even think about it, flesh. And you get out that hammer, you get out that nail, and you start crucifying. And you say, flesh, you just shut your mouth. I will not be that way. I will not respond that way. Flesh, you better be thankful that you even have a job. There are other people in this world who would love to have your job who can't because they don't have the health that you do. Or maybe they don't have the intelligence to do what you do. Or sometimes even the common sense, I hate to say, to do what you do. There are people who don't have the education to do what you do. There are people who don't have the resources to do what you do. And so what do? We take those fleshly emotions, the anger, the resentment, the bitterness, the offense, and we nail that to the cross. And then we stir up in ourselves some gratitude and some thankfulness. And it changes our perspective. And we bring it all around full circle. Because what's the bottom line? Here's the bottom line. Who are you doing it for? When you go to work every day, who are you doing it for? When you come to church and you work and you serve, who are you doing it for? In your home even, with your family, who are you doing it for? We should always be asking ourselves, reminding ourselves, who are you doing it for? Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul wrote this, verse 5. He says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh." Now hold on before we go further in this verse. In the New King James, it uses the word bondservants. That's the Greek word doulos, if I'm pronouncing that right. But that's the Greek word. And 2,000 years ago, that word was used to refer to a slave, whether a voluntary slave or an involuntary slave. Same word was also used to refer to a servant. Again, voluntary, involuntary, didn't matter. A couple thousand years later, it would be an accurate way to use that word today simply to say employee. It's the same context, just we're a couple thousand years removed. So in that light, he says, bondservants or servants or employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Who are you doing it for? He says, as to Christ. So this applies to any situation where there's someone over you. I don't care, work, you know, whatever the case may be. If there's someone over you, this applies. Doesn't matter if you're working for a man, doesn't matter if you're working for a woman, doesn't matter what the case is. Even though you have a human boss, you are to do your work as if you're working for Jesus himself, as to Christ. Now, I know many of us in here, we're a hardworking people. We do our jobs with excellence, and we should, but we don't do it because we have such a wonderful boss, or because we work for such a great company, you know, or because they pay us so well. That's not why we do what we do. We do our jobs with excellence. We are a faithful people, a reliable people, a hardworking people, because we're doing it as unto Christ, as unto the Lord. Likewise, we show respect for all those same people, for our bosses, for even our coworkers. Or I don't know what your cases may be. Maybe a customer or a vendor or another contractor. We treat all these people with respect and honor, not because they've earned it, but because we're doing our work as unto the Lord, as unto Christ. So we treat them in that way, sometimes just irregardless of them. It's not because I'm not doing it for them. I don't do what I do because of them. I'm working unto Christ. I'm working unto the Lord. We treat these people, bosses, everybody else, with honor as if we're working directly for Jesus, because we really are. That's how he said to do it. So let's keep reading. Verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." What's that mean? Not with eye service as men pleasers. That's kind of a King James way of saying, I do the same quality work whether they're watching me or not. I'm not doing it just to be seen by them, and as soon as they're not watching, well, then I can relax and loaf off. He said, no. We do the same hard work whether they're watching, whether they're not. Why? because I'm not working for them. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Verse 7, with goodwill, doing service, again, as to the Lord, and not to men. He's hammering this point as clear as he can. We do our jobs as unto God, not unto men. And we treat people the right way because it's as unto God, not unto men. And this isn't the only place, by the way, where Paul talks about this. You could go over to Colossians. We'll just look at one verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. He's doing the same thing there. He says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Are you seeing this? See, it's great to work for a good company. And it's great to have a good boss. It just makes life easier. I get that. And it's great to be appreciated for what we do. I get that. But if you're really doing it as unto the Lord, like he said to, if you really, God really is the one you're aiming to please, you will come to a place in your walk with him where if people do appreciate you and thank you and praise you, it doesn't mean as much. It's nice, but it's not what's motivating you. That's not why you're doing what you do. That's not the honor you're looking for. You're looking for honor from him, not men. It's nice when they do it, but I don't need it. So likewise, if you're in a situation where you're working hard and you're doing a good job and nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care, it doesn't really bother you because that's not why you're doing it. You'll also come to a place when you start walking like that, you'll see other people around you. When they reach that point where they throw their little fit because they're not feeling appreciated, and then what do you recognize? Careful how you talk with them, but you recognize they're doing it for men. They're not working as unto the Lord. They're looking for little recognition. They want the pat on the back, and if they don't get it, they're going to leave. They're not doing it as unto the Lord. You begin to recognize that in others. So be careful and full of love in how you choose to deal with that, or if you don't deal with it at all, that's fine. I'm not talking about that, but you're going to begin to see it in other people. As you begin to grow, you see it in you, and then you begin looking around, you begin to see things a little differently. You'll recognize what's going on in people. They're not doing it unto God. They're doing it unto men. So as I head down my conclusion this morning, I got a little more leg to go, but I'm in that final lap, for whatever that means. I want to go back another couple chapters. John chapter 5. And I'm going to pull one more little layer on this morning. John chapter 5, Jesus again speaking, he said flat out, I do not receive honor from men. Well, that cuts to the chase, doesn't it? He's not worried about whether you say thank you to him or not. He's not worried about whether you appreciate. That's not why he's doing it. And he's kind of made that clear. But he says, I don't receive honor from men. Flat out. Keep reading. In verse 42, he says, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. He's speaking to the Pharisees still. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you receive. Now, pause for just a moment. What does it mean to come in your own name? That's another kind of King James-ish thing. But what's he really saying? This is a person who's promoting themselves. They've come into the situation in their own name. In other words, they are promoting themselves. They're talking about themselves. They are the subject. They're promoting themselves, and they're doing all the promotion. This is a person who is seeking his own glory. And Jesus said, we don't do that. He says, I don't seek my own glory. But he says, if someone does come to you seeking their own glory, him you receive. That's what he's saying. Huh. But then Jesus, who came in the name of the Father, not his own name, who did not come tooting his own horn, seeking his own glory, he says, me, you won't receive. But look what he says in verse 44. He says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from God only? Or only God. Now, I want to remind you, we've talked about this before. The Greek word here translated believe. Now, in this case, I think it's pisteuo. It's a derivative of pistis. But in the Greek, there's one word for faith. And they use it all over. In English, that became clumsy. English is structured a little differently. So when they bring the Greek word faith into English, if that word's being used as a noun, then they translate it faith. But if that same Greek word is being used as a verb, then they predominantly use the word believe. But it's the same word. He's talking about faith, about believing. And if you keep reading, he goes on to tell them, you didn't even believe Moses' writings. And if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe my words? He's talking about faith in this case. How can you believe who receive honor from one another, but you're not receiving the honor that comes only from God? Can you say it this way? How can you be a people of faith when all you do is receive honor from each other and you don't receive the honor from God? I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. He just connected honor to faith. We're a faith church. We teach a lot about faith around here. I understand some things about faith. Got a lot of things to learn too, but he just connected honor with faith. He said, if all you're doing is trying to honor each other and you have no concern for the honor of God, how can you even be a people of faith? It's not okay. Here's what I want to say. Appreciation. This desire in us to want to be valued, to want to be appreciated. That's not a wrong thing. It's okay to want to be valued. It's okay to want to be appreciated. What's not okay is to desire that from men. What's Jesus say? That's what we should desire from God. In fact, it should be more than just a desire. We should crave appreciation from our Father. That's the honor we want. That's why we're looking at this series. It's His honor that we want. His praise. His appreciation. Not men. It's wrong to expect that from men. It's every bit of right to want that from Him. Huh. We should be desperate for it. The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, he starts talking about salvation. And he starts talking about how great a salvation we have. And oh, it's such an amazing thing. And oh, the future that God has for us. Oh, well, that's what he's talking about. I want to jump in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll start in verse 6, but I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. I want you to hear this. It says, so be truly glad, speaking of that salvation that we have in Jesus. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. That's what this life is. We all recognize, yeah, sometimes it's trial after trial. We go through trials in this life. We know that. I don't think anyone's living in that kind of a utopia to think, no, this life's trial-free. No, this life has trials. Now, what did he say, though? Many of them for a little while. Well, if nothing else, we know that, I mean, if you live to be 150, what's that compared to forever, for eternity in heaven? So this whole life, no matter how long it is just a drop compared to how long we are going to be in His presence. So, many trials for a little while. But these trials will show that your faith is genuine. He goes on to say, it is being tested. What is? Your faith. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. All these moments where we know we've done a good job. We know we worked hard. We know we added value to whatever it was, and nobody seems to appreciate us. Why do I say that's good for you? It's one of these tests. Your faith is being tested, tried as gold gets purified and tested by fire. Keep reading. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, your faith far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it, your faith, will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. What's going to bring you honor and praise and glory and appreciation from Jesus? Your faith. On the day we stand before Him, He's going to start bragging on you. But not on so many things that we tend to think of. He's looking for faith. He's going to brag about that time. He said, there was a situation. There was a situation when Frank was going through this thing. And he didn't allow the circumstances to move him. But he trusted me in that situation. And he stood in faith. And he came out strong. And I was able to help him. And Jesus is going to brag on him. There was a time when Irene was going through a struggle. Everyone bailed on her and everyone left. But she trusted me. And she stood in ground in her faith. And I was able to rescue her. He's going to brag on what? Our faith. That's what he said right there. When Jesus Christ will, our faith will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. He's looking for faith. He's going to brag on faith. He's going to honor it. And I don't know if that means just in front of the church or if that means in front of the whole world. I'm not sure who the audience is on that day, but it's going to be a big deal. This shouldn't surprise us. Jesus did this when he was in the earth the first time. Do you remember that? How many times was he in a situation where he would look at someone and he would, especially all those poor disciples, how many times did he look at his own disciples and say, where's your faith? Oh, you faithless and perverse generation. How many times did he say something like that? How many other times did he look at someone and say, according to your faith? How about the Syrophoenician woman? This was that time Jesus, he was kind of looking for a holiday, I guess. I don't know. He left Israel, went up into the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Greek woman came to him who needed her daughter healed. And she came to Jesus. She wasn't a Jew. And she had no right to him through the Jewish means. And she kept, Jesus, Jesus, trying to get his attention. Heal my daughter, heal my daughter. And he ignored her for a while, and she wouldn't go away. And so his disciples were like, tell her to go away. So finally he looked at her and he said, I wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I wasn't sent here for you. And then what does she say? She just keeps pressing in. And finally he looks at her and said, listen, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. Called her a dog. And what did she do? Yes, sir. In fact, one translation, she said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And what did Jesus say to her? Put this on the screen. I don't even know where I'm at in my notes. Matthew 15:28, Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. What did he do? He praised her faith. He did it then. He's going to do it again. That's what he's looking for. It's more valuable to you than mere gold. It's going to mean more to you, not just in this life, but in the life that is to come. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Praised her faith. How about the Roman centurion? Now he's back in Israel, but it's not a Jew. Again, not a Jew that's coming to him. It's a Roman soldier, an officer in the army. And he's got a servant that's sick. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, all right, I'll come pray for him. No. You don't need to come to my house. You don't have to come lay hands on him. Oh, no. Jesus, all you got to do is speak the word. You say the word, my servant will be healed. He says, because I understand authority. That's what it was related to. He says, I know how this works. I have people over me. They say jump. I say how high. He says, I got people under me. I tell them what to do and they do it. He says, I understand authority. And he says, Jesus, all you got to do is say the word. My servant will be healed. You remember what Jesus said to him? This one's Matthew 8:10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Can any of us ever say Jesus was watching us and marveled? I would love to be so smart to do something that he marvels over me a little bit. Man, that'd be great. What did he say? He marveled and said to those following, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He is in the land of his people, and he's not seen this kind of faith. And it wasn't even a Jew. But what did he do? He praised the faith. He did it then. He's going to do it again. Do we want him to praise our faith? Yeah, we do. And when we get focused on the honor that only comes from him, we'll quit seeking that honor that comes from men. It doesn't mean anything. When Jesus praises my faith, that's going to mean something. It's more valuable than mere gold, and it's going to carry weight into the next life. We're building for something. And all of a sudden, the stuff in this realm, the honor that men give, it's fleeting. It doesn't mean anything. Even Jesus saw that as he went through life. Man, one day they wanted to force him to be king. They wanted him to rescue them from Roman rule, and they're going to make him king. And I mean, sometimes the very next day, they got rocks in their hand, they're ready to kill him. The appreciation of men's fleeting, and it didn't mean anything to him. But the honor that comes from God and God alone, that's what we're looking for. Now, I'm done, but I can't be done quite there. I can't leave you in that spot. I got to clarify something. We've been talking about honor, but one side of the coin. There's another side to this coin that we didn't look at, and it looks very different. And the rules that we've been looking at this morning don't apply on the other side. There's different rules. And here's what I want to clarify. Everything we talked about this morning was receiving honor. I don't really need to receive honor from men. But oh, I crave receiving honor from my Father. That's what I'm looking for. And everything we just talked about concerns receiving honor. Now, if we flip this coin around, we start talking about giving honor. Well, now it all changes. If any of you are in a position where there are people that work for you, maybe on the job site, and there are people that are doing a good job and they're working hard for you and they're busting their butt and they're being productive for the company, don't go walking up to them saying, well, you shouldn't crave my honor. I shouldn't have to say a thing to you. No. Don't be doing that. Why? Everything we saw in Romans 13, when it comes to giving honor, that's like paying a debt. And we should give honor where honor is due. And if there's someone working for us doing a good job, we should give them honor. We should show appreciation. We should say thank you. That's still the right thing to do. And at home with our spouses, we should show appreciation. Recognize the things they do. It's right. It's a debt we owe. So when it comes to giving honor, we should be the first. We should be quick. We should be a people always thankful for what people do around us and express that. And we could probably all, I know I could, we could all get even better at that, at being quick to say thank you. Hey, you did a good job. I appreciated that. That's giving honor. But now as far as me receiving honor, now I'm back to what we just talked about. I don't mind when someone says thank you, but that's not what's driving me. That's not what motivates me. There is one whose honor I'm seeking. Do you see the difference? So there's two sides to this coin. So know which side of the coin you're on when you decide how to operate. Is that clear? Does that understand? Okay, good. Well, I didn't want to leave you thinking you could, well, none of this honor stuff anymore. No. We want honor. We crave appreciation. But we need to recognize who we're craving it from. Amen? Stand up. I'm good.